Welcome back to Ever Ancient, Ever New, the podcast in which we search for the hidden gems amongst the forgotten treasures of the church. I am your host, Father Kyle Kowalsik, and I wanted to share a story. I had shared a little piece of this in my homily a couple weeks ago, and actually I had shared the whole story in my bulletin articles when I first showed up at St. Max. However, I realized that bulletin readers and podcast listeners are not always the same people. So perhaps you've never heard the story. I went to Assisi, and the short version is I went to Assisi with no money and just begged for everything that I needed the whole time there. The moral of the story is the Lord doesn't just provide our bare necessities. He goes well above and beyond. And I was really blown away. So it starts like this. I was discerning the Franciscans of Primitive Observance, a pretty hardcore group of Franciscans out in Boston. And I was visiting them. I was on my discernment visit. I was planning on entering the order that next fall, which I did. And immediately after this visit, I was going to go to Rome, Assisi, and the Holy Land. And one of the guys one day, he's just asking me about it. And he kind of said, as nonchalantly as you would ask, you know, are you bringing a camera on your trip? Or are you, you know, bringing hiking boots? He goes, so are you bringing any money on your trip? And I said, well, I mean, I was planning on it. That was, you know, one of the things on my list. And he goes, well, let me tell you about the BVM tours. I said, oh. And so he and a bunch of the other fellows had done this before they had entered Franciscans. And the Franciscans, this group of Franciscans, basically lived like this all the time. They would hitchhike everywhere. They didn't have money. They didn't have cars. And so he said, yeah, so you go to your place, you go to Assisi, you don't take any money with you, and you beg for everything you need. And I was like, that's crazy and sort of awesome at the same time. So I was debating this, stressing about it. And in the end I was like, no, I can't do that. No. So I'm there the first week I was in Rome with some friends. And, but then I was taking the trip to Assisi on my own. By the end of the week, just grew a little bit of confidence. And I said, you know what? I think I can do this. And so I left my money and I was staying with a priest in Rome, and I left my money there. And all I took with me was my backpack, and not like a big camping backpack, which I was planning on taking. But then one of my friends, when I was leaving, she said, oh, I'm disappointed. I thought you would just take in the clothes on your back. I'm like, oh, man. So I downsized. It's a normal size backpack. And in it, I had, you know, several granola bars, my Bible, change of clothes. And that was it. So I hit the metro, had my last day of my bus pass, and I got on the train and I took it to the as far as I could go, last stop. And I get off at the last stop and I asked the lady who was doing the cleaning, I said, hey, which way to the road? She had no idea what I was talking about. So I just made my best guess, and apparently I'm a good guesser because I found it pretty quick. And the piece of advice I'd been given by the Franciscans who hitchhike all the time is stay on entry on-ramps. On-ramps are really good spots to hitchhike because people are slowing down and they can stop for you. So found my on-ramp. I had made a little sign that said Assisi on it, which I found out later was actually a bad idea. And so here's a little bit of hitchhiking advice. If you want to hitchhike to Assisi, don't have a sign that says Assisi. Have a sign that says whatever the next town is, because people will, if they see Assisi and like, well, that's 3 hours away. I'm not going that far. I'm not going to stop and pick this guy up. Maybe somebody else will pick him up. But if it's just the next town, they say, oh yeah, I'm going that far. And then you get in and then you say, oh, well, I'm going to Assisi. And they say, oh, well, I'm going a little bit further. You know, I can take you. So at any rate, I learned this lesson later on. I get on the on-ramp, put my thumb out, and almost instantaneously, maybe within 20 minutes, this car pulls over. I jump in It's the lady from the train station who was cleaning and who doesn't have a we didn't communicate at all. But anyway, she's driving home from her shift. We're driving. I'm kind of talking in broken Spanish, and we're sort of understanding each other. And so she takes me to the town she's going to. I thank her. I head back to the road, and then I found this spot in the road where it opened up real wide. And that's the other piece of advice I had, and I'll pass that on to you. If you're hitchhiking, make sure you have a place that has a shoulder, because if there's no shoulder, people won't stop for you. So I set my stuff down there, start praying daytime prayer or something, and ate a granola bar and just waited and waited and waited. And after, I don't know, an hour or so, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna walk for a little bit. I'll just go to the next spot where the road opens up, because I'm just getting tired of waiting. Of course, this was the one thing I was told not to do. Stay in the place where the road is wide open. Because I started walking and the road never opened back up. It just kept it's like, it's kind of like your country roads, 55 miles an hour, both directions, just two lanes, no shoulder at all. And nothing. I mean, I still put my thumb out. I had a better chance to get my thumb taken off by a car sweeping by than somebody stopping for me. So I just kept walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. I probably walked for 10 or 15 miles is my best guess. And I was starting to get really discouraged. That's a long walk. I had left at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now it's like mid-afternoon. It's hot. With the exception of that one ride that I got, which was almost like just gave me false hope that this is how easy hitchhiking was. Nothing. No, nobody slowed down. Nobody waved. Nothing. And all I had as far as a map went was I had my Rome map, had all the streets and stuff. And on the backside of that was like this little 2-inch map of the entirety of Italy. And I could see on it, there's, Rome here and Assisi there. And it's just like, I'm on that road. I'm just going to keep following that road. And I'm following it. And then I started seeing this town up ahead. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop at that town. Get there, and then I can like beg for some food or water or whatever I needed. Well, I'm getting closer, and then I see that it's actually like another mile off the road up this hill. I'm like, oh no. So on the other side of the road, there was this little it's like this flower or something. I mean, this big flower shop, and I go in, and I kind of in my broken Italian, I had been given several phrases to how to say, I need something to eat. I need a ride. I need something to drink. I need a place to stay. And so I asked her for something to drink. She comes and brings me this like big thing of cold water. I'm just sitting in the shade, and just like all these thoughts are going through my mind. Like it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been at this for 6 hours, and on my map, I've made like almost no progress. I mean, I'm like maybe 30 miles in and have another 130 to go. So I mean, this is just not happening. So I'm like, should I go back home? I mean, go back to Rome. What makes me think I'm gonna find a ride back to Rome? I barely got a ride to here. I start walking. I mean, I have to walk further than I walked here because I got that little ride. So I'm just kind of like freaking out. Not sure what to do. This woman kind of sees I'm in distress. She comes over and she brings me this cantaloupe, like a half of a cantaloupe that had been in the refrigerator, and it was cold and delicious. And I just dived into that. And just as I'm like probably leaning towards I gotta go home, she comes over and she gives me 20 euro and a little map to the next town, which was, I don't know, 10, 15 miles away. And and asked me, because I told her that I was going to Assisi, she said, "When you get there, pray for my kids." And I was like, "All right, I'm going to Assisi." So I thanked her and grabbed my stuff and I headed out. And just a mile or two up the road, there was another spot where the road opened up, slowed down, and I'm like, "I'm gonna stay here all day, all night, all tomorrow if I have to. I'm not moving from the spot. I'm not making that mistake again." The only deterrent to that plan was these like ferocious dogs barking across the way. I was like, I really hope that they're chained up pretty good because they seem mean." So I sit down to pray evening prayer, and all of a sudden this guy stops, and he stops to tell me, "I can't give you a ride because I'm not going to Assisi." That's when I learned my mistake. And I said, "Well, how far are you going?" He said, "Up to this town." I said, "I'll go that far." He said, "Hop in." So I jump in. Real nice fella, had good English. We chatted for a little bit. He takes me to this town, which is the place where I had that, the map to. And so now I'm like in a place. I, went into a store. Okay, I have a little bit of money. I don't think I have enough money to find lodging, but food, so feeling just a lot of confidence. So I go back and I go back out to the road, and I don't even have my thumb out. I'm just sitting there and I'm praying, finishing evening prayer, and then this guy stops like right away, throws the door open as if this is like something he does on a regular basis, and tells me to hop in. So I hop in. He's this young fella. He spent some time in America as well. He's really, really excited to just talk to an American. And he's like, "Oh, well, I'm going up to this town, see my girlfriend. I can drop you off at the train station." And I'm thinking, "Well, I don't know if I have enough money to get a train," but he's being generous. He's taking me there. So when we get there, he takes me into the train station. He buys my train ticket, and then proceeds to take me down to the where the train picks you up, and the platform, and helps make sure. He's like, "Okay." He talks to some guys. He says, "This guy's going to on your train, so you just follow him." He says, "We say our goodbyes." 20 minutes later, train rolls up, and I'm sitting on the train to Assisi, and I'm just like marveling. I mean, like an hour before, I'm like trying to figure out if I'm gonna, go back to Rome. What am I gonna do? And now everything's just changed. So I'm talking to this lady on the train. And she tells me about this little place in Assisi right by the train station that I might be able to stay. It turned out to be like some sort of group home or something like this for mentally handicapped men or something like that. Don't read too much into that. But they were very generous. So I get there, I'm rolling into Assisi just as the sun is going down. I knock on the door. I tell her my story. I'm discerning the Franciscans. I'm on a pilgrimage. I don't have anything with me. And she gives me a mattress on a floor and lets me sleep there. And there I am. So next morning I wake up, I'm going down to the one of the main churches. And as I'm walking past the train station again, this Franciscan monk walks out of the train station, and we're like, whoa. So we start talking. He's apparently on this mission to go and find this group of reformed Franciscans, and he's very much interested in the fact that I say, "Well, I'm joining a group of reformed Franciscans in America." So he's like, "Let's have breakfast." So we go have breakfast. We're talking. We go down to the church. We have mass. We come back. He says, "I have some money from a benefactor, and I'm going to give it to you." So he gives me this wad of money and takes me into the train station and buys my return ticket back to Rome. So now I've been in Assisi for 12 hours. Now I have like, I don't know, 60 euro in my pocket and a train ticket, and I've been fed and caffeinated, and I'm feeling like, all right, this is really going to work. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she's going to provide. And she does. And now I had a dilemma, though, of course, because now I have money in my pocket, and this changes the dynamics of what I was attempting to do, because I never asked for money. So I'm sitting there in the plaza. It's lunchtime, and I'm like, okay, do I just go buy food or do I go beg for food? And I debated it for a while, and finally I said, okay, I'm not going to spend the money. I'm gonna give the money away. I'm gonna find the right place to do that, and I'm gonna stay on this pilgrimage. So I went, and there's a family having a little picnic, and I walk up and I just say, excuse me. They're speaking English. I said, excuse me, do you have any food you could share? And they said, well, yeah, come on. They welcomed me to their table. We had this great conversation. They're from Benedictine College in Kansas, homeschooling their family on this trip to set up this program in Florence. They basically adopted me for the rest of the day. They're like, we're going up to Assisi. I went with them. We had lunch in the plaza. And that evening, they said, well, hey, come stay with us. We have a little, Airbnb type of thing in the neighboring town. So we go there, have this spaghetti feast and wine. The next morning, they invited me. They said, we're going to Siena today and you should come with us. And I was like, oh, I'm so tempted. But, this is really my pilgrimage as Assisi. I need to stay in Assisi. And so we parted ways, kept in touch for a while after that. So I go to this other church. I'm trying to hit all the St. Francis churches. So I go there. I'm just praying there all day long. I meet this fella. This is interesting fella. His name was Frank, and he dressed like Jesus, like in a robe and a sash, and he just apparently has been like 7 years just wandering, searching. And so we end up talking, and I'm sharing my story, and he's like, oh, well, a great place to sleep is in the train stations. It's open, you just find a bench. And so that night I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. And this woman who was with who had known him had this extra fleece blanket, and she gave me that. So now I'm like, this is great. I'm gonna sleep outside. I get to the train station that night, and I'm like, you just can't sleep in a train station. It's loud, there's commotion, it's light. So I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do this. So I started walking, and I had seen this vineyard on the other side of town. So I'm like, I'm gonna go sleep in that vineyard. So I go there, I find a good spot, I just lay down under the stars. It's August, it's a hot summer night. I'm like, this is great. I'm just laying there. But then it got cold, and then colder, and then colder. And I put on all my extra clothes, which was only, an extra t-shirt, an extra pair of socks, and bundled up, and I'm curled up underneath this blanket, and I'm freezing. So finally I just get up and I start walking, and I'm just looking for a place to sleep, and I'm not finding anything. And finally I found this plastic tarp, and I was like, this will actually keep me warm. It'll keep my heat in. So I found a little spot on the other side of a hedge on the road, and wrapped myself in the blanket and the plastic, and slept for a couple hours. So the next day, my total mission was like, I gotta find a place to sleep. I cannot do this outside thing. So I'm visiting all these other churches, and I find this adoration chapel, and I donate. I'm putting money in these places. I'm like just donating the money I'd been given. Had a couple different sources of like, okay, maybe I can go find a place here. I went to like this hotel, and they said, no, you can't stay here. But I met this woman who was some type of sister, and she had a connection in Nazareth, and told me I could go stay there when I was in Nazareth, because I told her I was going there afterwards, which worked out, and I ended up staying there. She gives me 50 euro, tells me, hey, you should go check this other place, the TORs. So going to the TORs, they're like, no, you can't stay. I'm not allowed to have people stay. And I'm like, please just let me sleep in the garage. They're like, no. So I need food at this point. And I had heard about this other Franciscan, these German Franciscans that a friend of mine had stayed at. So I go find them, and I get there, and they're like, no, we don't have a place for you to stay. I said, well, do you have any food? They say, yeah. So they gave me this like bowl of soup, and then I thought that was it. And then they brought out this bowl of pasta and fruit and chocolate, and I was well sated. So then I'm still on this mission. Okay, I gotta find food. And somebody else had told me about, well, I'll go check out the Capuchins. So I go down there, and I couldn't tell if this was like a hostel or a convent or a hotel. But I'm trying to talk to this nun, and I think she was Polish, and we don't have a common language. I'm trying to figure out. Eventually, she says, "Give me your passport." So I give her my passport. She takes a photocopy of it and gives me a key to a room. Now, I don't know at this point if like she's going to charge me at the end of my stay or if this is free. I have no idea, but I get this room. I have my own shower and bathroom and bed, and it was glorious. So the next day, I mean, it's just like repeat, repeat, repeat. But I think this is where I'm starting to realize now, okay, the Lord's gonna actually provide. He's not gonna leave me destitute. The very beginning of the trip, he kind of proves to me, hey, this is not you. You can't make rides appear or food appear. I can. So you got to trust me. But I think there's still this sense like, okay, he's gonna provide the bare necessities. That's what it's gonna be. But I think it was the next day. I'm out about, and again, like, food shows up in different ways. And this time there's this tour of kids, high school kids, and they end up swarming this plaza that I'm already sitting in. And then they break out all these bag lunches and stuff. And then at some point, I started this conversation with one of them, and they're like, "Oh, he speaks English." And they get all these, like, "Hey, so and so speaks English." So they're speaking in English and they're finding out my story. And they're like, "Oh, do you want some food?" And next thing I know, I have like five bag lunches. I ended up sharing one with this homeless guy I met, the next day. So I'm in the plaza later that night, just walking, and I hear this guy speaking English, Australian accent. And I just say, "Hey, oh, I just want to speak with somebody whose native language is English. It's been a couple of days now." And he's just fascinated by my story. He was there with his family, and I think he's kind of like searching too. And he's heard that like Assisi is just this place of peace. He's like seeking peace. And he's hearing my story of like, I'm selling everything I have and I'm giving it to the poor and I'm following Jesus and I'm becoming a Franciscan. And he's like, "No way, no way, come over here." And he takes me to his table, and he orders a bottle of wine and like some croissants and pastries. And we're just drinking the bottle of wine and eating these pastries and talking into the night. Next morning, he invites me to come to this like tour of some excavation. And yeah, so it's just like, okay, so now I'm getting the bare necessities and wine and pastries. And I have a hotel, which then I find out the next day actually has a free breakfast every morning too. So I'm like, man, this is unreal. Now we're getting kind of to the end of my time. I was there for a week. And the last day, I'm just feeling good, but you're kind of at the end of the trip, kind of like, okay, a little bit restless. And Assisi is not a big place, so I've seen all of the churches. I've spent time praying in all of the churches. I've seen all of the churches multiple times. And I had seen that early on there's this poster for this choir concert in one of the churches. And I said, I'm gonna check this out. It'd be fun. So I went early. And I was journaling and praying, and there's hardly anybody in there. The choir was kind of warming up a little bit, but there's maybe like 10 people in this whole church. And then all of a sudden, this guy sits right next to me, like in the pew right next to me. Like big, wide open church. Why is this guy sitting right next to me? And I can just see him in my periphery. And I'm like, this is kind of awkward. I'm trying to pray, and this guy is sitting right next to me. So I kind of do the thing where I'm like looking around and pretending that I'm not looking to see who he is. I look. It's a guy I know from Ann Arbor, Michigan, who was One of the guys, when I first started discerning my vocation, was also in this discernment group, and he's studying to be a priest for the Diocese of Lansing. I'm like, no way. Because there was certainly, like a week totally by myself, only meeting strangers, to have now, somebody I know, somebody from back home, just appear out of thin air. And so we go out and we start talking, and another friend of ours is also with him in this seminary class, and so we go back. I go back over to his place, and I have dinner with the seminarians at their place, and what a gift, guys who would like, oh yeah, saw your mom last week, they had a big, whatever, and they're like, oh joy. What it was just such a comfort, and just totally unexpected, because they had just got there that day. And this is one of the churches. It's like, maybe if you were gonna, it's low down on the list of places to get to if you're gonna be in Assisi. Not one of your main, St. Clair, St. Francis, San Damiano. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, there's something. I'll go. So he walks into this church, sees me. We get to spend the afternoon together. So I'm walking back to my hotel. I think by this time I realize it's actually a hotel, and it's not a charity case. And I get back to and I'm walking back, and I'm seeing all again, it's high summer. I'm seeing all these people, all these t pilgrim tourists. Eating their gelato, and they're standing in line, and I'm like, oh Lord, gelato, it's so good. But I know I'm on pilgrimage, and I'm not gonna go begging for gelato. And but I just said, gelato would be really nice, and thank you for gelato, and thank you for all the other ways you've provided me on this trip. I'm not asking for gelato. I don't need gelato. You're the best. And then I get back to the hotel, and there's these Franciscans sitting in the lobby, and I strike up a conversation with them. One of them speaks good English, and I ask him actually to translate for me with this with the nun who was in charge, and explain like, I've come on this pilgrimage. I don't have money. I wasn't expecting to be able to pay, but I have been given some money, and I'm happy to give that to you. And the nun says, "No, just pray for us." And then I found out that her last name is Kowalsik. So she would have known this when I gave her my passport, and we're obviously, distant relatives. But again, like, you can't make that up. So continue to talk with these Franciscans. I'm sharing my story. I'm going to become a Franciscan, and then they're like, yeah, well, we're down for a little we're down for a wedding, so we're on vacation. It's our last night here. We're heading back tomorrow, but we're going to go out tonight and get some gelato. Would you like to come? It's on us. And I'm like, Lord, I didn't ask for gelato, and you're giving me gelato. I don't need ice cream, and you're giving me ice cream. And we went out, and that night, and it was my last night there too, and that was just so good. It was so good. What a gift. And then the next day, I got up, and I had my train ticket already, and I headed back, and I didn't have to hitchhike, and I didn't have to walk, and I didn't have to beg. I just got on the train, and it's a lot quicker. It's a lot quicker if you just take the train. I think it took me like, 8 hours to get up. I think it took me like 2 hours to get back. But that was to me, so I mean, obviously it was quite a way to experience Assisi. And to beg my way through, and it was the lesson for me was, yeah, the Lord doesn't just provide, the Lord goes over and above, and the Lord is in charge, and the Lord loves me so much that sometimes He wants to give me ice cream. And I think particularly at that time in my life, and something that I can tend to struggle with is this feeling that God just wants everything to be hard. And to be a Christian means it's just hard, and it's there's not much pleasure or joy, and you just gotta grind it out. And the lesson was, and the more I trust the Lord, the more He provides. And He's such a good father that He doesn't just provide the bare necessities, just like any father knows. They don't just, okay, you got clothes and you got food on the table. What more do you want? Well, they want love, and they want ice cream, and they want to go to the zoo, and all these other things. We actually need those things, and a father loves to give them. And yeah, so I share that. I hope that's edifying for you. And if you ever want to take a BVM tours to Assisi or anywhere else, let me know. I'm happy to share with you my tips and things I picked up along the way. And yeah, I think that's it for today. God bless.